Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Now we want to take your calls on random acts of kindness in the face of danger, yours or anyone. Seems like everybody's heard about the guy who's been dubbed the first hero of 2007, Harlem resident Wesley Autry, who captured our imaginations this week when he jumped from a subway platform onto a track to save a 20-year-old student from an oncoming train. That split-second decision brought him accolades from around the city and around the world, a medal from Mayor Bloomberg, $10,000 in cash from Donald Trump, a free trip to Disney World, which seems weird to me, but I guess give him whatever you can give him. But ask about the reason behind his heroic act. He said, "I just did it because I saw someone in distress." And it's hard to believe that's the approach most people would take, but what random act of kindness or risky act of kindness can you claim for yourself, or have you ever seen personally? It's one thing doing a good deed for its own sake, but what about when there's danger involved? This has made us feel so good and hopeful about human nature, I guess, that let's put some more of these on the table. It can't be the only one. We want to hear your stories and what goes through your mind in those times, whether it was you or someone you know involved. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There was also that case just yesterday, I think, when a baby in the Bronx wandered out a window onto a fire escape and two neighbors rushed to the scene. The baby slipped off the building, plunged four stories, but the men were there waiting with their arms outstretched to save the three-year-old child. Not as much risk as diving onto a subway track, but still some. You know, you could get your head crushed by that if you don't position yourself the right way. And is it something that you would do if you were on the scene? A bit more people would do that than jump onto a subway track. What is it that compels people to act to save another person and risk their own lives? Does this make you appreciate the police department and the fire department and people like that more? Give us a call with random acts of kindness in the face of danger that you have participated in or that you personally have seen or heard about. 212-433-WNYC. And Stephanie in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What I see is what happens to me is that whenever I see someone hurting someone else in public, I always jump in and stop it. Now, one time I saw a group of men run after another single man and start pummeling him. And I was by myself, and it was at night, and it was in the city, and I told them that they had to stop because I didn't really know the circumstances, but I know they were hurting someone, and I said I was calling the police and that the police should take care of it if it was, in fact, a thief or something, but I didn't know.
So your intervention was to tell them that you were calling the police.
Right. Or times, one time when I saw a woman push her teenage daughter down on the ground and start hitting her, and I stopped that too, and she approached me and started screaming at me, and I started calling the police.
Right, and you don't know if she's going to start pummeling you next,
right,
or if those guys are.
Right, exactly.
Did it ever happen?
No, it's never happened, and I have to be more careful because my automatic response because of the abuse that I had as a child is to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think of what could happen to me, but it's my first response is to protect the person that's being hurt.
Interesting. And so you actually think you might have a tendency to get too involved, to risk yourself too much because of your childhood.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Thank you. I guess that's the one upside of child abuse, if that's if that's common, it makes you more likely to help other people in risky situations. Okay. Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, it's Paula. And
Paula,
it's
okay. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I had once during a terrible storm, it was really like an ice storm, and I live right in mid-Manhattan, and there's a woman that I passed several times when I was walking my dogs, and she was lying barely covered by a bus stop. No one was around. No one was out. It was so horrendous, but I finally bought her some soup, and then I bought her something else, and she ate it, and I just didn't think she'd make it through the night, so I took her back up to my apartment, and she spent about 4 hours in my shower. And she was so grateful. She spent the whole night. I don't think I slept the whole night. She was talking to me about her whole life and her childhood, and, of course, she was a little off, but I just felt, you know, it was so sad that here was a person with something to offer someone, and you know, there she was out almost dying in the cold. Afterwards, however, the complexity of this story is that she came back on several occasions.
Expecting you to put her up?
Yes, yes. And the doorman finally had to tell her I no longer lived here or something like that.
If you had it to do over again, would you have?
I think so. I think so. You know, the thing is, the sad story is to me that what have we to offer these people that are homeless or, you know, the shelter situation? She didn't want to go to a shelter. She told me that it was terrible and they beat her and so on. And she'd been robbed, et cetera. So, you know, what really little bit can one do? And
right.
That's how I felt.
And you thought she was on the point of freezing in that particular case.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Paula,
definitely.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Here's an email that says, in February 2005, my 22-year-old son had a seizure on the platform at the L train at the First Avenue station in Manhattan. He fell on the tracks. I was told that a good Samaritan jumped onto the tracks and saved him. He was brought to Beth Israel Hospital, and one of the paramedics told me this story. I have never been able to find the person or persons who bravely saved my son's life in the subway that day. Could you mention this on air? Maybe someone will contact us. Thank you. Support epilepsy research, writes this mom. So I guess if anybody knows who the hero was in this incident, if you happen to have seen it that day in February of 2005, email us here, brianlehrershow@wnyc.org, or give us a call off the air, and we'll put you in touch with this grateful mom. Brian in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
All right. What'd you do?
I remember once when I was in college about, 20 years ago, in the middle of Manhattan, going to the AICPA when I was an accounting major. I had to go there for some reason in the
AICPA
middle of the afternoon.
AICPA is?
The AICPA. It's American Institute of CPAs.
Okay.
Got out of that industry, though. But right in front of me, there was a mugging with a big guy. He kind of tackled this older gentleman with his friend, and he spun around right in front of me. And although the sidewalk was full of people, I just instinctively kneed him in the gut like he spilled onto the ground, dropped the wallet.
Wow.
And almost got him, tried to trip him again, but everybody else kind of parted way to let him get away. And it was kind of amazing that no one even noticed. And the guy got his wallet back, looked at his brother, kind of didn't even acknowledge that it happened. But it was kind of funny the way nobody reacted.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, it's just instinct.
Brian, thank you. And Robin in Edgemont, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robin.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My story is one where I wish I would have had the courage to do what a woman did for my dad. 10 years ago, my father, coming home late from work, he was 73 at the time, fell asleep at the wheel, crashed into a tree. Mm. He flipped his car. Mm. The tree fell on top of him. A woman driving home from a Christmas party, a 30-year-old woman, stopped, pulled him out of the car, waited, obviously, until the 911 arrived. My dad was extremely distraught at the prospect of my mother being informed of this. Unfortunately, we had had a very sudden death in the family a few months prior. Mm. This woman drove to my mother's house, introduced herself at midnight. She rings the doorbell. She tells my mother what's happened, and she drove my mother, a perfect stranger, to the emergency room and sat with her the entire night until the early hours of the morning when we were told that I wasn't there. When she was told, my mother was informed that my dad was okay, but for a broken back.
Now, did you say that you had an opportunity to do something similar and you didn't?
No, I was saying that I wish, I don't know if I would have done that myself, you know, taken upon myself. I am in the allied health profession. I certainly consider myself an altruistic person. I don't know if I would.
It's a fascinating question of who does and who doesn't, because, well, look at the previous caller. He talked about intervening at physical risk to himself to break up a mugging. And he said, I asked him, would you do it again? He said, yeah, it's just instinct. But his own story was about how all the other people were just standing around. So it's not everybody's instinct.
I think so. And I think that it really one has to ask oneself, you know, you have a certain perception of how you function. Yet when here's a perfect example. When faced with the reality, you know, how do you really make that decision in that split second?
Right, Robin, thank you. And Julie in Westchester, I think, also chased down a mugger. Is that right?
Twice. Actually. One time I was coming home from my run, and I saw an elderly man come out of a store yelling, "Stop, thief," pointing at a guy who was running away. So I just continued running, and I actually sped up, and the guy knew that I was chasing him. And I ran after him for about three blocks, and he was throwing credit cards out of the wallet, Social Security card. He threw everything except the cash. And so I was able to retrieve that. And as I got closer to him, I started to think, what would I do if I actually catch him? So I stopped, and I picked up all the things and brought them back to the man who had been mugged. And then some years after that, again, I was heading out for my run, and I saw an old woman crossing a street, and a car pulled up right in the middle of the intersection. The guy jumped out and grabbed her handbag. So I started chasing the car just to try to get a look at the license plate, but I never could. But I went back to the woman, and she was very shaken. She didn't speak much English, but she kept pointing at her heart, and she said that she'd had $400 in her bag and her heart medicine. So I brought her to a diner, and the people there called the police.
After you thought about the time you physically ran after the mugger, he was running and you were running, did you then get scared, and would you do it again?
I would definitely do it again. I think that when one has an instinct like that, you obey it without thinking.
Yeah. Julie, I'm going to leave it there and sneak one more in. David in Manhattan, we have 30 seconds. What'd you do?
Okay, 3 years ago, my wife and I walked across Midtown about 46 between 5th and 6th Avenue, and there's a dog trapped on a four-story ledge. People were whistling at it, and no one was doing anything, and we tried to catch it with a poncho, realizing that that wasn't going to work. All of a sudden, everybody screamed. The dog was falling through the air, and I caught it. And I messed up my knee and my ankle, but saved the dog's life and was in the Post the next day and even flown out to the Wayne Brady show.
David, thanks for doing it, and thanks for your call. And see, this ought to send you into the weekend with a little more hope for the nature of humankind. Random acts of kindness in the face of danger. People do it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.